Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning at the bottom of Daf Kuf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. Before we begin the shiur, we'll take note of the topic heading in the outside margin. She'ela, we begin with a question. Chalukas Eretz Yisrael, Bizman Yehoshua, the division of the land of Israel in the time of Yehoshua, lefi shvatim or lefi kol echad ve'echad shebi Yisrael. Was it divided into 12 distinct land units? Each unit being of the same size as the other, 12 equal land units, or were each person, was each person in Klal Yisrael given an equal unit? To go over this point in other words, if the land of Israel was given out to the Shvatim, 12 equal units to the Shvatim, what does that say about a Shevet, a tribe whose population is large, as opposed to a tribe whose population is smaller? It would follow that if it was given out as 12 separate equal land units, then a tribe that had many people in it, each individual would receive a small portion, as opposed to a member of a less populous tribe. On the other hand, if you say that it was given out, the land was distributed person by person to all those entering Eretz Yisrael, each one getting an equal portion, then obviously the tribe you came from, highly populated or less populated, would be of no consequence. The Gemara now inside. Ibai Alaho, Eretz Yisrael. Aleph, O Dilma. You notice the O Dilma is squiggle underline. It's the Aleph or Beis structure of many, of a question, as appears in many different questions in the Shas. Do you say Aleph l'shvotim iflug, that Eretz Yisrael was given out to the Shvatim, 12 equal portions of land, one per shevet, one per tribe? O Yidilma l'karkif gavri iflug, or each person by head, karkif literally head, each person getting an equal portion of land. The Gemara answers this with a long answer, Toshma. We introduce a long marking here. We called it a Toshma. Conceivably, we could have used a Tof encircled as well, indicating a long teretz. This long marking, in effect, encompasses an entire Tanaic source, a long brisa. And at the very end of the brisa, the Gemara picks up and says, Kotoni mias. It, however, says, and what the Gemara does here, as it does in many places, after a long source is quoted and you only need a small portion of it, it gives you the excerpt of the source that's germane. And we'll do that right now. If you skip to the end of the Tanaic source, you see it says, Kotoni mias. Shevetchila lo nischalko elo lishneim osor shvotim. That initially, when the land was distributed, it was distributed amongst 12 tribes. Shmamina. This concludes our initial question. Lishvotim ifluv shmamina. We had two possibilities in presenting the question. Aleph o Dilma Beis. We are answering with the Aleph alternative, the first alternative. Let's go back over the Gemara, and before that, let's note the topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei. Chalukas Ha'aretz Bizman Yehoshua Ula'osid Lavo, the division of Eretz Israel in the time of Yehoshua, the first entrance into the land, and a future division of Eretz Israel at the time of the Moshiach. As we go on in the source, we're going to notice the volcano form, one of our geometric forms indicating Ceres. The note says the Mivneh, Lo Nishalka, in quotation marks indicating that's what's encompassed by the form. Ella, Lo Nishalka, Ella, etc. Pratim Hakshurim L'Chalukas Ha'aretz Bizman Yehoshua. The series will feature different details that were characteristic of the division of the land at the time of Yehoshua. The Gemara opens up at the top of Kuf Chof Beis, Omen Aleph, Toshma, Bain, Rav Lema'at. As far as the question, how was the land divided, the first answer, and that's indicated by the number one, the first answer is essentially a pasuk. The pasuk says, whether they be a lot or a little. If you say that the land was given to each individual an equal portion, of what note is the expression Rav versus Ma'at? Everyone's getting an equal amount. Rav meaning a lot, and Ma'at meaning smaller. However, if you say that the land was given to the tribes, 12 equal portions, one portion per tribe, then the expression Rav and Ma'at has significance because the tribes were of different populations, different numbers. V'oid Tanya, we have a Tanaic source that we already discussed in our introductory comments. In this source, we will once again see that it was given to the 12 tribes equal portions as opposed to distributed per person. The source begins, Asido Eretz Yisrael shetischalek l'shloishos or shvotim. In the future, the land will be divided into 13 sections. Shebetchila, at the beginning, namely in the time of Yehoshua, Loi nischalka elo l'shneim osar shvatim. As we saw earlier in our introductory remarks, this is the reason this source is being quoted here. We've also taken the liberty of dashed underlining that phrase that's of importance to us. This answers the question. The land was divided into 12 parts. V'loi nischalka elo bekesef. This expression will have to be explained later on. Sheneemar bein rav lema'at. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is not coming to argue. He's coming to explain. He says, Sa'ah b'Yehuda. Sa'ah is a measure of land. A sa'ah in the Yehuda region. Shove chamesh sa'in b'Galil. Equals 5 sa'ah in the Galil region of Eretz Israel. This issue will be discussed later on in the Gemara. We've provided an asterisk over here in the space between the Gemara and the Tosfos, namely to the left-hand side of the Gemara, indicating later, by scanning your page, you can note already where the Gemara will deal with this. Continuing in the Brisa, V'loi nischalka elo begorol. At the beginning, the land was divided out through the use of lots. Shenemar ach begorol. V'loi nischalka elo be'urim v'tumim. The breastplate containing the stones of the Kohen Gadol was also present and in use for the division of the land. Shenemar, Alpi Hagorol. The expression Alpi indicates the use of the Urim V'tumim. The Urim V'tumim, these breastplate stones had letters etched out on them, and miraculously these letters would bulge or bolate when questions were presented to the Kohen Gadol wearing this priestly breastplate. By combining the letters, one could understand what the answer that was being provided meant. So far, we've seen that there were lots, and there was a breastplate. The Urim V'tumim were used in determining the division of the land. Ha Ketzad. The Rashbam, in the lower part of the narrow lines, explains Ha Ketzad im Urim loma goro vim goro loma Urim v'shema makrishim ze'eze. How does one explain the presence of both elements? If you're drawing lots, so that determines who gets what. So what's the role of the Urim V'tumim? And if you're consulting the Urim V'tumim, what do you need the lots for? That will be explained. Ha Ketzad. The Brisa continues. Elozer Melubash Urim V'tumim. Elozer the Kohen Gadol, the son of Aaron, was wearing this ornament, this appurtenance, namely the Urim V'tumim. V'Yoshua V'chol Yisrael Oimdim Lefanov. V'kalfi shel shvatim v'kalfi shel tchumin munochim lefanov. Kalfi is a receptacle. There was a receptacle that contained lots in it with the names of the tribes, and a second receptacle with borders, land division and borders, land being divided into 12 different sections. V'hoya mechavein Beruach HaKodesh V'oimer Zvulun Oile Tchum Akoi Oile Imoi. The Rashbam, you can see where there's a double asterisk, the lower, underneath the Gemara, the second of the wide lines at the end, V'hoya mechavein Beruach HaKodesh Kloimar. The expression of he would concentrate through heavenly inspiration is really a reference to Kloimar Beurim V'tumim. This was a reference to the consultation with the Urim V'tumim. Sheshoyel im tchila Beurim V'tumim kodem sheyitraf hamemuna bekalfi. The breastplate, so to speak, was consulted before the appointed one would juggle the receptacle holding the lots. Ubekach miskara daiton shel Yisrael. With this, the people of Israel felt a certain sense of security. Sheroyin shehagoyrol hoya oyle kemoy shenisnabe tchila. That the lot that came up matched that which the Urim V'tumim reported. That would convince people that the division was without question. And the highly populated Shvotim wouldn't complain. They had two urns, two receptacles, one holding the names of the Shvatim and one holding the borders. Velosagi b'chad d'tchumin, and it wasn't sufficient to have just one with the borders, velemo, and to announce, Achshav ani noitel mashiale biyodi letzorech Reuven. And simply to say that that which I'm going to draw now will be for Reuven. D'im kain, if that would be done, ein kol hachaluka asir b'gurol.
Krokomar ach begorol. Baloi hoitzaz dibor mipiv. That the division of the land should be able to take place without any actual personal announcement. So what we see here is Urim v'tumim, which also my understanding is that that's not Hotsa's Dibor Mipiv. It's any speech that took place was simply an interpretation of what the Urim v'tumim were reporting. And as far as the lots were concerned, they too covered everything. The names of the Shevet and the borders. The Rabbeinu Gershom, he's found about a third of the way down, says, V'hoyo elozor mechavein beruach hakodesh. V'im omar, zvulun oile, sheboltin oisiois be'avnei urim v'tumim. The name zvulun, spelled zayin, beis, vav, lamed, nun, those letters would protrude on the Urim V'tumim, indicating that Zvulun is to be dealt with. Tchum Ako Yehei Oyle Lechelkoi, Achar Shohoya Boile Shem Zvulun. If the Rabbeinu Gershom is saying along the same lines as the Rashbam, then Tchum Ako would also have appeared on the Urim V'tumim after the name Zvulun. Taraf Bakalfi She Shemois Shvotimba. He would then juggle the urn that the names of the Shvotim were in, Ola Biyodo Shem Zvulun. And lo and behold, the name Zvulun would arise. The Taraf Bakalfi Tchumin Viola Biyodo Tchum Akai. And then juggle the urn containing the borders, and the border, the section bordered by Akko, would appear. Hainu al pi urim v'tumim v'al pi hagorol v'chein hoya oisa l'chol shevet v'shevet. Continuing in the Brisa. V'hoya mechavein beruach hakodesh v'imer zvulun oile tchum akoi oile imoi. As we learned in the Rashbam, this Mechavim Ruach HaKodesh meant that the Urim V'tumim communicated that Zvulun would arise, and the Urim V'tumim also would indicate that Tchum Akko would be its Zvulun's area. Taraf Bekalfi Shel Shvotim V'Ola B'Yodo Zvulun. He would juggle the urn containing the names of the tribes, and Zvulun would arise. Taraf Bekalfi Shel Tchumim V'Ola B'Yodo Tchum Akko. V'chazar u'mechavein beruach hakodesh v'yomer Naphtali oile. And the same thing would happen with the next tribe. And he would say that the Urim V'tumim would report that Naphtali is going to come forth. Tchum Ginosar oile imo. Ginosar being another region, that region destined for Naphtali. Taraf b'kalfi shel shvatim v'yolo b'yodo Naphtali. Taraf b'kalfi shel tumen v'yolo b'yodo tchum genoisar. V'chein kol shevet v'shevet. And the same thing happened with each tribe. V'loi k'chaluko shel oilom hazeh, chaluko shel oilom habo. However, the division that took place, oilom hazeh as a reference to the time of Yehoshua, is different than the division in the future. Ha'oilom hazeh, odom yesh lo sodeh lovon, ein loy sodeh pardes. In the time of Yehoshua, we could say nowadays, a person who owns a wheat field, a sodeh lovan, doesn't necessarily own a fruit orchard, sodeh pardes. And the opposite, sodeh pardes, ein loy sodeh lovan, one who owns a pardes doesn't necessarily own a grain field. Le'olam habo, ein lecha kol echad ve'echad. She'ein lo b'hor, b'shvelo, b'emek. However, in the future, there is going to be no one that doesn't have all different types of property. Mountainous, valley, low-lying. Shenemar, sha'ar Ruvain echod, sha'ar Yehuda echod, sha'ar Levi echod. that being a pasuk from Yechezkel, pasuk describing the future, that means that whatever A has, B has. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mechalek lohen ve'atzmo. And another point of difference is that Kadosh Baruch Hu will be in charge of the division. Shneamar v'ele machlokosam ne'um Hashem. Thusly, Hashem speaks. With that, we conclude the Brisa, which contains the immediate information for us. Katoni mihas shebetchila lo nischalka elo l'shnei moser shvotim. You can see in the section to the left of the Gemara an arrow. This draws your attention to where this quote is coming from, way up on the page. This section indicating the answer to our question, how was Eretz Yisrael divided in the time of Yeshua? And the answer is it was divided to 12 equal sections. Shma mino l'shvotim ifluv shma mino. With this we can conclude that it was divided per shevet as opposed to per person. Omar Mar. With this we quote another section from the source. Asido Eretz Yisrael shetischalek l'shloisha osor shvotim. That in the future Eretz Yisrael will be divided to 13 as opposed to 12. Idoch leman, that extra section, who is to receive it? Omar Rav, Chisto la nosi, to the king, the Moshiach. The note on the side, our nose heading, the topic heading, ve'osid ha-Moshiach mekabel chelik v'Eretz Yisrael ke'echod mishar ha-shvotim, that in the future time, the Moshiach will receive a section of Eretz Yisrael equal to one of the other shvatim, one of the other tribes. Dichtiv, v'ha'oived ho'ir ya'avduhu mikol shivtei Yisrael. The expression oived ho'ir is a reference to the nosi, to the king. He's called oived, which sounds like a slave. And that's because a leader, in effect, is a slave. The yoke of the public rests upon him. The pasuk says Yavdu mikol shivtei Yisrael means that all of the shvatim will contribute, so to speak, to his toward his portion. Omar le Rav Papa l'Abaye emo rungor ba'amo. Rav Papa asks, maybe the implication of the expression of Yavduhu doesn't mean donating to him land portions, but rather they will serve him like workers. Rungor biyama, simply serve him as workers. Answer, lo sakodaitach, don't think thusly. Dichtiv v'hanoisor lanosi, mizeh u'mizeh l'trumas ha'kodesh u'lechuzas ha'ir. The expression of hanosu lanosi, mizeh u'mizeh, implies that he will be receiving a portion from each tribe, besides the area of the Beis Hamikdash. As we continue in the Gemara, we're going to take a note on the outside margin. We have a nose heading. It might be noted that even before we look at our heading, the Rashbam points out that there's the standard expression of Omar Mar doesn't appear here, but you should understand it as if it were here. In other words, what I personally think is that this Rashbam is one of these marking Rashbams. We often point out in our marking system that the Rashi, who accompanies most of Shas, in our Masechta, where we have the Rashbam, they were very structurally sensitive. Hence, he feels it's important to note that over here, you should imagine Omar Mar appearing, and that's why we have a period right before this, and we naturally used our frame to indicate a Tanaic source, and we have a star indicating that this is a quote from above. So with the markings, we've employed what the Rashbam would like us to imagine. Without markings, one could just read on from the line just before and think that there's some kind of association with what was mentioned previously with what appears now. But that would be quite erroneous. Hence, to save each one of us from slipping into an error, we have employed the marking system. The topic heading, the Nosei and Mivneh, indicates Yesh Lefatzois Shiei Chaluka Shivyoni. We have to deal with the issue of compensation so that ultimately the division of the land exhibits equality. Bain, point Aleph Echu Yotshono. One has to deal with how does one equalize, how does one factor in the fact that there are different land qualities. Velo tie al shetach godol yoiser shel echus pochois. We have to consider that a large area of poor quality land will be equal to a small area of high quality land. So if we just go over that note again, we are dealing with point Aleph, Eichuyot Shonot, Vze tie al shetach godol yoiser, the equalization will come about through a large area shel echut pochot, with of poor quality. So as we said before, large area of poor quality will be a compensation for small area of high quality. Point Beis, kirva verichuk miyushalayim. Distance from Yerushalayim is also a point of difference that needs to be equalized, and that will be al yedei pitzui kaspi, through monetary compensation. So we're going to see in the Gemara two forms of compensation, one through increased area and one through financial adjustment. Let us now continue in the Gemara. V'loi nischalko elo l'ksofim shenemar bein rav lima'at limai. When we talk about the division and using money, what is the money going to be used for? Limai ilemo l'shufra v'sanya. Shufra meaning good quality, sanya meaning poor quality. Namely, that someone who received a se'ah, which is a land area of edis, of high quality land, would you think that he would be able to offer cash to compensate for someone who received the same area of poor quality land? Namely, party A receives a se'ah of high quality. He will offer cash compensation for someone else who, for Mr. B, who would get a soft, poor quality. No one would accept such a thing. Otu b'shufteni askinan. Are we dealing with fools? The Rashbam points out that no one would agree to such a deal. When might someone accept such an arrangement of cash compensation? Not for quality equalizing, but rather for distance compensation. The Rashbam says, the Kroiva Urochoiko, Hakarkois Hoyu Cholkin Bishove. As far as the parcels of land were concerned, they were divided in terms of equal value. Mishalokeach min hakochush noitel yoiser ad kidmei hayofe. Someone who took poor quality land would take a larger area of poor quality land to equal the value of a smaller area of higher quality. Avol mi she'ilo le'geroloi b'korov Yerushalayim, someone who received a portion closer to Yerushalayim, ma'ale mois lemi she'olo gerolo b'rochok Yerushalayim, he would offer cash compensation for someone whose parcel of land was further away from Yerushalayim, she'orochok geruahu, the distance from Yerushalayim, further distance, was negative. V'pnei shnei devorim, for two reasons, which the Rashbam elaborates on, and he says one because of the closeness to the Beis HaMikdash, and the second one because the further from Yerushalayim you were would indicate the closer you are to the border to Eretz HaAmim, and being close to the border and enemies would of course reduce value, hence the need for compensation. The Gemara goes on, Kitanoi. The issue of how compensation was made concerning distance is the subject of a machloikis tanoim. Rabbi Lezer Omer v'ksofim he'eluha. The compensation was made through cash, as we just said. Rabbi Yeshua Omer b'karka he'eluha. The adjustment for distance was made by increasing the portion of land that one would receive. Namely, someone who was more distant would receive a larger portion. V'loi nischalka elo b'goro shenemar ach begoro. The land was divided in the time of Yeshua through the drawing of lots, as the Pasuk indicates. Tono, ach begoro. The Brisa here darshans the expression ach begoro, indicating there is a mi'ut, something is being excluded. Yotsu Yeshua v'kolev. To the exclusion of Yeshua v'kolev, lemai, what do you mean that they were excluded? We use a double underline with dots in it to indicate a series, in this case two stages in trying to resolve what does it mean that they were excluded. We have Elema in the next line. You can see Ela. So Elema delo shokul klal, if you're to suggest that they were excluded in that they got no portion, that's not true. Hashto delavidhu shokul. Yeshua and Kalev received the portion of the Meraglim, meaning they received that which was not originally destined for them. The Lav Didhu, that which was not theirs, they received. Didhu Mibaya, that which was destined to be theirs, do I need to tell you that they would receive? Of course they would receive. So what does it mean that Yeshua and Kalev were excluded? Elo Shelo Notlu Begoro, Elo Alpi Hashem. But rather, they did not receive through the lots, but they received through divine ordinance. At this point, the Gemara will elaborate, and we can see on the outside margin we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. This geometric form encompasses Yehoshua and Kolev. Kolev found on Omid Beis. B'inyan nachlosom sheyeshu v'kolev hoichochois sheloi kiblu alpi goro elo alpi hadibor. They didn't receive through drawing of lots, but they received through divine proclamation. Yehoshua dichtiv alpi Hashem nosnu lo esoira sheshual es timna serach ve'ar Ephraim. In this pasuk, we've dashed underlined al pi Hashem, indicating through the ruling of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he, Yehoshua, received his portion. We notice a bracketed section. These brackets are for skipping, and if we skip immediately, we see Kolev Tichtiv, and Kolev also received through divine proclamation, as opposed through lots. He will be then dealt with at that point in the Gemara, after the brackets. The note on the inside margin describes these brackets. Sograyim l'shem diluk l'shmor al retzef ha-chashiva. These brackets are designed for skipping in order to preserve the continuity of topic, of thought. We were dealing with the uniqueness of Yehoshua and Kalev, and hence we feature them with the geometric form and also the brackets in order to skip and see quickly the connection. B'soy chasograim, our note says, within the bracketed section, HaGemara miyasheves shnei hashemois shel oisoy mokoim shekibel Yehoshua. We're going to see two psukim which offer different names for the section that Yehoshua received. Why is it that in Sefer Yehoshua his portion is referred to by one name, Serach, and in Sefer Shoftim the same place is called Cheres? Interesting to note that it's a reversal of letters forming the name of the area Yehoshua received. That having been said, let us continue with the Gemara straight. Let us just note one more marking. This is a marking you see often in our marking system. The length indicator of the brackets. To the right-hand side of the Gemara, between the Gemara and the Tosfos, you notice a vertical dash dotted line. This indicates the length of the bracketed section. Ksiv Serach. In Sefer Yehoshua, the area Yehoshua was to receive is referred to by that name. Uksiv Cheres, and Sefer Shoftim in the book of Judges, the name of his place is called Cheres. Omar Rebbe Elozar, he is going to say something, but there are two versions as to what he says, and that's indicated with the Aleph and the next line, Beis. The Beis is preceded by Iko Diamri, as you could see, it's squiggle underline, one of our standard uses of the squiggle underline form to highlight where a second alternative is being presented. Here we have two versions. The first version of Rebbe Lozer's teaching is Betchila Peroseo Kecheres. Before the land got to Yehoshua, the fruits that grew there were dry like earthenware. Cheres. Ulebesof peroseha masrichin. And after he received it, they were very rich. And the term masrichin in other contexts has a negative connotation. In this particular context, it's positive in the sense that because of the richness and the oils, so to speak, contained in the fruits. We even have a product today known as vegetable oil, oil produced from fruits, from agricultural products. As a result of their richness, they would masriach, as opposed to something that's dry, that just remains dry and doesn't masriach. Masriach indicating something that goes foul, but something that's dried out doesn't have the potential of going foul. Something that's rich does. So in this context, the term cheres indicates the quality of the fruits before Yehoshua got the land, and the term serach, from the word masrichin, serach being the shorash of that, indicates something positive. The Ika Diamri, an opposite approach. Betchila Masrichin. Before Yeshua got it, they had no shelf life. They went bad very quickly. Ulabasof, but later on, when he got the land, Kicheres, they achieved shelf life and didn't go bad so quickly. Kolev, going back to the main point, from where do we see that Kolev received his portion without the drawing of lots? Dichtiv, Vayitnu leKolev es Chevroin, Kasher diber Moshe, Vayoresh misham es Shloisha b'nei Ho'anok. We've dashed underlined the critical section. Kasher diber Moshe, he received his portion as was ordained by Moshe and not by the drawing of lots. The Gemara asks the question, Chevroin. We offered a different type of dashed underline when we saw Chevron mentioned in the Pasuk. Here the Gemara addresses, how can you say that Kolev received Chevron as his portion? Ir Miklot Havoi. It was a city of refuge of those who commit murder inadvertently. That's a Rotzech B'Shoge goes to an Ir Miklot. And we know that those cities were given to the Shevet Levi, specifically in this case, the Rashbam makes reference to it, Chevron being given to Kohanim. The Rashbam says, "Ir Miklot Havoi Kirektiv Yeshua Ulivnei Aaron HaKohanim Nosnu Es Ir Miklot Horotzech Es Chevron Ves Migroshel." The question then is, Kolev, who was not from the Kohanim, how could he receive it? Omar Abaye. Abaye explains that which was given to Kolev was par v'roho, the surrounding areas of Hebron, the kforim and sodois that were around it. Tichtiv v'sdei ho'ir v'es chatzereho nosnu l'kolev ben Yefune v'achuzaso. Kolev received the areas around the city. The Mishnah, Echor HaBen VeEchor HaBas BeNachlo, Elo SheHaBen Noitel Pishnayim BeNichse HoAv VeEinoi Noitel Pishnayim BeNichse HoEin. The Mishnah opens up by saying that a daughter and son are one in the same with regard to inheritance. A phrase that's very difficult to understand. The Gemara will labor upon it. And then a contrast expression, Ella, a very important word as far as the continuation of the Gemara is concerned, hence we've dashed underline it. Ella, the contrast word, introducing the second part of the Mishnah, saying that the ben, the son, receives a double portion in his father's properties and doesn't receive a double portion in his mother's properties. V'habonois nizoinois minichsei ho'av v'einon nizoinois minichsei ho'ein. We're going to take full advantage of the dashed underlining that you see in the Mishnah as we proceed in the Gemara. From here till the bottom of the Omid, you'll notice quite a large amount of marking, heavy use of triangles appearing in two directions. We will explain that by looking at the Nosei Mivne introduction on the outside margin. We see triangle with double underline being one of our additional series markings. The Gemara asks, "My echor haben ve'echor abas lenachlo." The note on the outside margin says, "These are nisyonos lahasbir mishnosenu, attempts to explain our Mishnah, the Katani that says, Echor Aben ve'echor Abbas Benachlo. We're also going to notice the use of this dotted underline under the expression V'olig Mai Elo. The Gemara will be repeating this question. Kushyo hachoyzeres al atzmo b'nisyonis harishonim. This is a repetitive question in the initial attempts of the Gemara till it gets to the end. We'll be asking that how, whatever you do as far as explaining the opening comment, we're still going to be left with another question. What does the word Ela accomplish in the Mishnah? We will elaborate on that as we go on in the Gemara. The Gemara opens up once again. Mai echod haben veechod abas lenachlo. Ilemo. Here's our first double underline, indicating an attempt. What does that mean? So, if you think it means deyarsi ki hadodi, that a daughter inherits along with a son, that's not so. And here we have an inverted triangle indicating a dechia, a rejection. Hotnan. You can't possibly say diyarsi ki adodi, that they inherit equally together. The Mishnah says ben kaidem labas. Kol yotze yerecho shel ben kaidem labas. A son preempts a daughter. Not only does a son preempt a daughter, but all of the descendants of a son will preempt the daughter of the deceased. We have a siman in parentheses. This siman represents the names of the Rabbonim that come offering their explanations, their attempts, if you will, to explain the Mishnah. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. What we've attempted to do, as each name appears, you'll notice a letter with a squiggle underline. The squiggle underline, if you follow the names as they appear, you'll notice we featured the letters that correspond to this simen, Nafshom. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Hochi ko amar. Here is his approach. Echod haben ve'echod habas noitlin beroy kevamutzak. A son and a daughter, and we'll emphasize here a daughter when there is no son. In other words, a father who passed away leaving only daughters, whether it be a son or a case of an estate that's being inherited by daughters. Notlin beroy kibamuchsuk. They are able to inherit properties that are anticipated to have been received by their father, just like they inherit properties that are held by their father at the point of his death. We've seen in previous sugyas the expression beroi. We can use an example that we've used in the past. A man died leaving children. The man who died left not only children, but he left his own father alive as well. Under normal circumstances, when the grandfather died, the son would have inherited him. In this case, that particular son died before the grandfather. Who's going to inherit the grandfather's properties? The grandchildren. So, maybe the Mishnah is telling us that a son inherits those anticipated properties, and a daughter, if she's a sole heiress, or she has no brothers, she too will inherit the ro'ui properties, just like she inherits those properties held by her father at the point of his death. Moore here rejects that as being an explanation for our Mishnah. Ha, nami tanina. This particular point that girls are equal to boys in their ability to inherit ro'ui, outstanding or anticipated properties, has been taught already. Benois tzlofchod, notlu shloisha chalokim benachlo. It says that the benois tzlofchod received three types of portions. Chelek avihem shoyim yotzi mitzrayim. Vechelko im echov benichse chefer. They received a portion along with their uncles, namely Tzofra's brothers, in the properties of chefer. We have noted in the past that chefer lived beyond Tzlofchad. Namely, the grandfather outlived his son. Chefer outlived his son, Tzlofchad. And even so, when it came time to inherit from Chefer's properties, the Benos Tzlofchad, which were Chefer's granddaughters, they inherited. Chefer's properties were Ro'ui to Tzlofchad, at the point that Tzlofchad died. He never took actual possession of them. That's no matter. The daughters got it anyway. Hence, I don't need our Mishnah to teach that particular point, that daughters inherit Ro'ui, just like sons would inherit Ro'ui. And another question. V'oid, my Ella. We have to pause and explain this a little bit. The second section of the Mishnah, namely that part of the Mishnah that follows the word Ella, that appears afterwards, focuses on what we've dashed underlined, Nichse Ha'em and Nichse Ho'av, or more accurately, Nichse Ho'av and Nichse Ha'em. And you'll notice that in the Aleph expression in the Mishnah, we can read it together. Shaben noitel pishnai benichse ho'av, v'eino noitel pishnai benichse ho'em. The relationship in this part of the Mishnah is the relationship between nichse ho'av and nichse ho'em are contrasted. The word Ella indicates a change. If that be the case, is there any din in the reisha of the Mishnah that indicates some type of similarity between Nichse Ho'av and Nichse Ho'em that warrants the use of the word Ella to show a distinction in the ensuing section? If I would have had a format that said in the Reisha something about Nichse Ho'av and Nichse Ho'em are similar in some respect, however, in this respect they're not the same, then I would have had a legitimate Mishnah structure. But I don't have any statement in the Reisha, the opening of the Mishnah, that indicates parallel between Nichse Ho'av and Nichse Ho'em that warrants my use of the expression Ella in the ensuing section. We spent a little bit of time elaborating on this for the simple reason that the same question is going to be repeated several times as we go on in the Gemara. We don't have to offer the same explanation again and again. Let this explanation suffice. We have added on the inside margin a note that expresses this idea. There's an asterisk. It says, Mi kotoni bereisha, does it say in the opening of the Mishnah, Ezo shehi din, any halacha, any ruling, shemashveh, bein nichse ho'av and nichse ho'ein, that parallels property of father with property of mother, sheachshav basefa, that now in the latter part of the Mishnah, yesh tzorich lelameh bohem chiluk, that now there is a necessity of teaching a distinction. The idea of changing from similarity to distinction is indicated by the use of the word Ella in the Mishnah. But as we said, we don't see any parallel in the opening of the Mishnah to warrant the use of the word Ella to read on in the continuation of the Mishnah. This brings us to another attempt. We can call it our third attempt. We had so far the Ilema attempt, to explain the opening phrase. We had Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok's attempt to explain it. Elo Omar Rav Popo, Hochi Ko Omar. Echor Aben Ve'echor Abbas Noitlin Chelek B'Vechora. A son will inherit a chelek b'chora of his father, if his father had been a b'chor, and a daughter will inherit the chelek b'chora. The daughter as well can inherit her father's chelek b'chora. If her father had been a b'chor and received in his father's estate a double portion, so naturally his son and his daughter, if they're no brothers, if she's a daughter that's amongst, either she's a sole heiress or she has only sisters, she too will inherit the chelek b'chora. Is that how we're paralleling Ben and Bas at the opening of the Mishnah? The Gemara rejects that as an explanation. Ha nami tanina. That halacha is also taught in another Mishnah. And here is the quote. Vishahoya b'chor, notel, shnei chalokim. Slavchad had been the firstborn amongst his brothers, and he got a double portion in Hefer's property. Of course, he didn't physically take hold of it, but he was destined to receive a double portion in Hefer's property. That was inherited by his daughters. So I don't need our Mishnah to teach that point, that daughters receive chelek b'chora. V'oid, my Ella. And once again, how does Rav Papa explain Ella? Ella Omar Ravashi, Hachi Komar. Now Ravashi's attempt to explain the opening of the Mishnah. Echod ben, bein habonim, v'echod bas, bein habonois. Whether it be one son out of a group of sons, or a daughter out of a group of daughters, im Omar, if the father said, Yirash kol nechosai, he chooses one son and designates him to inherit all of his property, or he designates a daughter and says, I want her to inherit all of my property. Dvorov Kayomen. Then his words are binding. This particular sugya or reference is an entire sugya later in the Masichta. Here there is a premium placed on the exact language that's being used. Specifically, he says Yirash, Loshen Yerusha, and he isolates a son amongst sons. We can say that a son amongst sons, if a fellow has several sons, the sons, the group of sons, are called Yorshim. Any one son is a Yoresh. If he decides to limit the Yerusha to one son, the use of the word Yirash has validity, according to this opinion. Therefore, if a person says Yirash kol nechosav on someone who is in a position to inherit, namely a son amongst sons, or a daughter, if there are no other sons, there's just a group of daughters, no brothers, or no brothers to that daughter, then any one daughter is one of the heiresses. And he says, I want one of the girls to inherit all of his property. So this source says that it stands, it's effective. The Gemara rejects this as an explanation as follows. Keman, Kirabi Yochanan ben Broiko, is this being taught in lines of the ruling of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broiko? Ha, Kotoni Lola, come on, that appears later on anyway. I don't need this Mishnah to teach that which appears explicitly later on. And here is the source: Rabbi Yochanan ben Brocha Oimer, Im Omar Al Mi Sheroi LiYorsho. If a person designated someone to inherit all of his property, someone who is fit to inherit, who's in the position to inherit, Dvarav Kayomen, what he says is binding. Al Mi She'eno Roi LiYorsho, Ein Dvarav Kayomen. If he says Yirash Kol Nechosav, he uses that expression on someone who's not in the position to inherit, who's not an heir, then what he says is of no validity. So at this point, I don't see why it's necessary to explain the opening line of our Mishnah to reflect the Shita, the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan Broka, that appears anyway later on. V'chitemo, you might suggest, there is value. Kososam lon k'Rabbi Yochanan Broka, by teaching a halacha without attaching the name of a Tana to the particular teaching, you create a Stam Mishnah. And that our Mishnah would be Stam, a Stam unnamed source, to give it greater legal strength. To basically say that this is the way the law shall go. Even so, it wouldn't work over here. Stam v'yachakach machlikasi, because the setup would be that I have an unnamed source here, followed later on by the same teaching as part of a controversy, as part of a machlikas. And as far as halachic ruling is concerned, as far as legal rules are concerned, the following is true. Ustam v'achakach machlik is when you have an earlier Mishnah that's stam, that's unnamed, and it's followed by that particular halacha taught in the context of a machlikis, ein halacha kistam. Notice how we've dashed, underlined the word ein to show that there would have been no value in having our Mishnah being taught as Rabbi Yochanan Broka in order to say that the halacha should be thusly when that's not the case. The oid my ella, and furthermore, once again, how is Rav Ashi going to deal with ella when in his explanation, as we saw in the others, there's no accounting for property of mother and property of father in the resha. Ella Omar Mor Rav Ashi Hachi Ko Omar. We have his reading of the Mishnah presented in a frame to indicate this is the way he envisions the Mishnah to appear. And what we're going to take careful note of course, is that in his Reisha presentation, we should see a reference to Nichsei Ha'Eim and Nichsei Ha'Av, as we see in the Sefer of the Mishnah. And if we see that, and we see in the Reisha a paralleling of Nichsei Ha'Eim and Nichsei Ha'Av, we will then be able to justify the use of the word Elah as an introduction to the Seifa. So let's see. Hachi ko Omar, Echad haben ve'echad habatz shovin b'nichsei ho'eim u'b'nichsei ho'av. Sons and daughters are equal. Sons, of course, as one category. Daughters as a category unto themselves, namely daughters without sons. Both inherit in father's property and in mother's property. Generally speaking, there's no distinction between mother's property and father's property, with a couple of exceptions, and here they are. Ella, shehaben noitel pishnayim benichsei ho'av, v'eino noitel pishnayim benichseim. The institution of firstborn getting a double portion, that is true only with regard to double portion of father's property. Firstborns do not get double portion of mother's property. Of course, The Mishnah mentioned another distinction, and that has to do with the issue of mezoinos. That's featured in the Mishnah itself under the ois beis. One can look above to see that. What we've seen then on this Amud of Gemara since the Mishnah, we saw a series of attempts to explain the opening phrase of the Mishnah. And however one explains that, one also has to take into account that the word Ella appeared in the Mishnah, followed which was a point of distinction made concerning mother's and father's property. Hence, we would have needed to see in the opening of the Mishnah some reference to mother's and father's property, which we did not see until we came upon Morav Rav Ashi's explanation. All of this was featured with a series of triangles, and double underlinings indicate all of these attempts. And finally, we concluded with an acceptable explanation. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.